Well, can I just say it's a great joy and a privilege to be with you tonight here in Abbots Cross, to have the opportunity to come and to sing and to give a word of testimony and to preach, and that'll take us up to about 11 o'clock. And then, and you're laughing, but I'm the only one who knows what time this meeting is going to be over at. But there you are. But our brother, Pastor Galanders, asked me to come and sing and testify and bring a wee word. So we'll try to testify and bring the word, as it were, at the same time. And trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. It's lovely to be with you. And we trust the Lord will bless our continued fellowship together. Now, I'll take my coat off. I like to look a wee bit respectable when I get up. At the start, I don't care what way I'm going to go out, but I like to look respectable at the start. And I'm going to try and sing a couple of pieces. They'll be old-fashioned gospel hymns. And as you see, by my age, I'm old-fashioned and I've been here for a long time. But the Lord has been good and the Lord is gracious. And it's great to hear the songs of Zion tonight. And I love music and I love to hear all the musicians playing. But I've bad news for you, because there's a friend of mine. He's a pastor in a Pentecostal church. And like me, he plays the accordion. And he always says, the only instrument in heaven is the accordion. And I say, well, brother, have you scripture for that? He says, of course, because the Bible says, accordion to your faith, be it unto you. So I try and play this scriptural instrument here, and we'll see how we go. And now, it's a lovely old gospel hymn, and it's a favorite of mine, because we're going to bring a word of testimony tonight. And from the moment you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ until that day when the Savior comes back again, or when he takes us to be with himself, we can say it's Jesus and me. It's Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus. Anybody here, vintage model, classic model like myself, remember the words of that? Amen. That's good. And we'll see how it goes. So if you know the words of the verses, join in and sing. If you know the words of the chorus, join in and sing. And trust the Lord will bless us. I traveled alone upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache, for every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate. I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity, and we'll travel along, Jesus and and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and forever I'll sing of his great love to me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea.
His side, contented I'll be, now for all of my life, it's Jesus and me, now it is Jesus and me, for each tomorrow, for every heartache, and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Amen, it's Jesus and me. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do helpless sinners good. You remember those disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they accompanied the Savior up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember how Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount. And then God's voice was heard in heaven, and the Bible says, and they saw no man save Jesus only. The church can't save, the preacher can't save, the pastor, the priest, the bishop, the archbishop, or anybody else, they can't save. But thank God tonight, we know a man who can. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who, the Bible says, he's able to save to the very uttermost all them that come unto God by him.
I can take a heart that's broken and make it over again. Ah, but I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sin sick and wash it whiter than snow. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. But I call him Jesus, for he my dearest friend. If you think that no one loves you and that your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. I can walk upon the water, I can't calm a raging sea, but I know a man who can. I can cause blind eyes to open or make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. But I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you think that no one loves you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can.
Just one other wee piece before we turn to God's word. I have a long association with Abbots Cross, going back many, many years. And I remember many years ago, I was a minister in Banbridge, and we had the Abbots Cross choir, and our brother Sammy Campbell came, and he says, "Now, Fred, make sure you have a good piano." Now, the service wasn't in the church, it was in a hall. And we went to, and I'm not exaggerating, if there was five notes in tune and that piano, that's all there were. And but Sammy, he nearly made a talk anyway. And we had a good night with the folks there. And different times I met up with the Reverend Sam Workman. And different times we had tent missions. And was talking to her brother. And I lent him stuff, he lent me stuff for the missions. But it's good to be with you tonight. And remember the group sang here from Abbas Cross, was the Gospel Heirs, did they call them? I can't remember, my name's a wee bit, you get to my age, you forget. And they used to sing a wee hymn called, "It's Different Now Since Jesus Saved My Soul." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and all things are becoming. Just sing a couple of verses of that wee hymn. It's a testimony hymn. So here it goes.
Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. Then Jesus came to me, and by his blood I'm free. Now it's different, it's so, so different now. It's different now, since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now, since by his blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, it's so, so different now. I went to church one day just to hear them sing and pray, but the preacher firmly plied the gospel plow. Now he said, "You must repent." So to the Lord I went. Now it's different, it's so, so different now. And now my hopes are bright, I praise him day and night. How he could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done, and the victory now is won. Now it's different, it's so, so different now. It's different now, since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now, since by his blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different, it's so, so different now.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you. As we said, if you have a Bible with you tonight, we'll read just a few verses. So we're going to be referring to three very simple, well-known passages of Scripture. But as I say, we'll try and give our testimony and get the Word of God across as well as we do so. But if you turn with me, first of all, to the book of Ezekiel, one of the Old Testament prophets. And it's good to read the prophets. An old fella said one time, you ought to read the minor prophets as well. For he says, one day you'll get to heaven and there'll be a fella coming along the golden street with a big beard. And he say, "My name's Nahum. Did you read the wee book I wrote?" And you'll be embarrassed. If there's such a thing as embarrassment in heaven, you'll be embarrassed if you never read his book. We're turning to Ezekiel chapter 3 and just a few verses from verse 17. And these verses were instrumental in my life. But we'll just read them. Verse 17. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, And he turned not from his wicked way, nor from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Amen. We'll end there at verse 19. So we'll try and testify, and maybe we'll preach a wee bit as we go along. But some time ago, I was asked to give my testimony at a meeting up in Portadown. And a friend of mine, he says, Fred, you know, we've put out flyers for this meeting. And he says, we'll get them out and we'll try and get a crowd in for the Saturday night for this special testimony meeting. And he put out a flyer and it said on the leaflet, the Fred Greenfield story. And then it said, nothing sensational, nothing sinister, how God saved him and made him a minister. And I thought, boy, that boy's in line for Poet Laureate. Some of these days he'd be in the honours list and he'd be getting promoted. But that's true. There's nothing sensational, there's nothing sinister, but there is something supernatural. Because every person who is saved by the grace of God, there's a new birth. There's something supernatural in the heart and life. As we're singing, if God takes a life and changes that life and redeems that one from destruction, thank God they're living unto him. And God delivers men and women from the power of sin and Satan and from darkness unto the light and the liberty of his dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I always say when I'm giving my testimony, I was born in 1900 and none of your business. 1948, that's a long time ago. 1948. And in the providence of God, I was born into a Christian home. It was a brand new Christian home because I was born in the month of December in 1948. But in the month of September in 1948, my father came to know Christ in the little city mission hall on the Donegal Road in Belfast on what we call the Library Hill. And just about a month after that, my mother, she came to know Christ as her own and personal Savior. The preacher in those days was a man, and you think I'm name dropping today. You'll know him, maybe most older folk will remember him. His name was John Gervin. He became the moderator of the Irish Presbyterian Church. But way back in those days, he was a Belfast city missionary and he labored for the Lord very hard and well on the Donegal Road, and many men and women came to know Christ as their Savior. So into this new Christian home I was born. And when I look back upon my life, and I think tonight about the call of God to salvation, I can honestly say that I can never remember a time when I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I was sent along to Sunday school, sent along to children's meetings. As I grew up, I joined the Boys' Brigade, and my parents belonged to Donegal Road Methodist Church. But they attended the city mission on a Sunday night to hear John Gervin. And as well as that, a lot of my family are all Pentecostal. And when I was getting older, I would have been either in Donegal Road Methodist Church, the city mission, or Apsley Street, Elam. Or sometimes it was a nice man, was a preacher in the Church of Ireland, and he let you out at 5 to 8 instead of 8 o'clock. And sometimes that was an incentive as a young boy to go there. But we were many, many places. But I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard it at home. I was taught the way of salvation at home. I heard it in Sunday school. I used to go to the Sunday school in the Methodist Church, and then I had to go to a Sunday school in a little gospel hall. And I used to say to my mother, everybody else only goes once. Why have I to go twice? And she said, in case you don't take it in the first time, just you go the second time. Second mile religion. That's what they believed in. And I was brought up that way. Heard the gospel, heard many famous preachers. I remember as a young fellow over in what we call the Bog Meadows there, there's a big motorway now going up there through the Bog Meadows. But we were kicking football on an old pitch up on the Bog Meadows, and we heard this beautiful singing, lovely singing. And as young boys, we actually stopped our game of football and we sat down and we listened to the singing. It was the big Billy Graham Crusade in Windsor Park. And we sat there and we listened to the singing and we listened to the preaching. And then later on in my life, when I had left school, started to work in a factory in Belfast, and you know, when you get to that stage, you think, well, out of school now. I was glad to get out of school. The teachers were even more glad to see me leave school. And I was in work and I thought, well, you can just do what you want now. Go where you want. Now, I love music. And as a young fella, I loved all the pop music. And the trouble was, in those days, going away back in those mists of time, if you wanted to know who was in the top 20, you had to listen to Radio Luxembourg. Many people remember that. Radio Luxembourg, you're giving your age away. And I remember the top 20, top 10 was on a Sunday night. So I would come home from Sunday school or later on at the Bible class, and I would get like a health kick. I would have to go out for a walk. And I would take a wee transistor radio with me and go for a walk and hear who was number one or number two. And I loved the music. Started to learn to play the accordion. Then I learned to play the guitar. And I was a pupil of Bert Whedon. Bert Whedon is a very famous guitar player. And I was a pupil of his because he used to come on the television and he taught one chord a week. And that's the way I learned to play the guitar. Sitting with my notebook, taking down where you put your fingers, the names of the notes, all the rest of it, and I learned to play guitar. Myself and my cousin and his sister, we started to sing. There was a group in those days called the Springfields. We should have called our group the Greenfields, but we didn't. And we went on ahead and we sung in different places and talent competitions, Norange Halls, all sorts of places, and that was the way we were going. But when I started to work, there's some folk in that work. One of them was a cousin of mine, and they were all Christians, saved, and they had a prayer meeting, and they had a gospel meeting in the factory. And they used to ask me, do you want to come to the gospel meeting? It was a Friday at lunchtime, and I always said, okay, certain. I go down to the gospel meeting, went with them, heard it, always had great friendship with them all. And but my cousin, he kept saying to me, Fred, will you come over some Sunday night with me to Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church and hear Dr. Paisley? And as I say, I was brought up in Irish Methodism and the City Mission and all that, and I said, I know, I don't think I'd go to hear Ian Paisley. You're all right, don't worry. And he kept at me and kept asking. And eventually one night I said, well, okay, Jim, I'll go with you this Sunday night. We went over to the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. Dr. Paisley came in. The place was packed. People were sitting, young children were sitting on the stairs up into the pulpit. We got a seat away at the very back of the gallery. And we were there, and Ian Paisley started to preach. And you know, I knew the gospel, and I had heard the gospel many, many times. In fact, I remember one night a friend of mine who was in the boys' brigade along with me, and he got saved. And we called him the vicar. Here's the vicar coming. Watch what you're saying. Here's the vicar coming. But this fellow was very, very faithful. He says to me one night, Fred, will you come and hear Willie Mullen? I went with him to hear Pastor Willie Mullen. William Mullen was preaching about the Lord's coming, about two being in the field, one being taken, one being left, two being in the bed, one taken, one left. And I remember that night when I came home, I took the Bible, I turned to the book of Revelation, I read through the whole book of Revelation, trying to learn something more about the second coming of Christ. I remember in the middle of the night having a wee look into my parents' bedroom to make sure they were still there. Because I knew if they were taken, I would be left. And I would be lost. I heard Billy Graham. heard Pastor Mulhern. I heard many faithful men in our BB company. Leaders were faithful men. And when we were away at the Boys Brigade camp, boy, they preached the gospel. And they prayed for the souls of the boys and their care. And so this night on the 21st of February 1965, I was sitting there in the gallery in Old Raven Hill. And as Dr. Paisley began to preach, I thought to myself, that man really believes what he's preaching. He really got conviction in the way that he really believes this book, that it is the Word of God. But as he preached, he quoted a verse of Scripture. It's a well-known verse of Scripture from Genesis chapter 3 and from verse 3. It says, "The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." Can't remember much of the other things that he was saying. I know he was preaching from the Epistle of Peter in the second chapter. But that verse hit home to me. And again he quoted that verse, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And I began to think to myself, what would happen to me tonight if God the Holy Spirit should stop speaking to me? And you, the answer, of course, I would be lost. And I thought about it how I was brought up in a Christian home, taught the way of salvation, sent to church and Sunday school, been in many, many missions and all these things. And here I am, and I'm still not saved. And I don't know why. Maybe I was trying to distract myself from the thoughts that I was having. I put my hand into my pocket and I pulled it out, and it was a wee Boys Brigade membership card. You talk to people about the BB and ask them what the motto is, they'll tell you "sure and steadfast," and that's right. But on the front of the membership card, it said, "For the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys." And then there was a verse that the group were singing tonight, Matthew 6 and 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." And then again, Ian Paisley quoted that verse, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." So I was reading the Word of God. It was telling me, seek first the kingdom of God. And a warning, my spirit shall not always strive. At the end of the meeting, Dr. Paisley made an appeal. I raised my hand in the appeal. And then he said something to give me a real shock. He said, "The people who raised their hands, I want them to come down from the gallery. I want them to come from the main body of the church and go to the inquiry room." So they started to sing that lovely old hymn, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." And as they were singing, I remember coming down the stairs, and then I went to go into the inquiry room, and the inquiry room was full of people wanting to be saved. And one of the elders from the Old Raven Hill, a man I came to know very, very well, and he says, "Son, just go in there." And he put me into the kitchen. And he says, "You sit down there, son." And then I wasn't there very long, and I heard my cousin coming in, cousin who went with us that night. He wasn't saved either. And he had responded in the appeal. We didn't say anything to each other. He was in one chair, I was in the other, and we were a bit teary. And then I heard Dr. Paisley's big voice outside saying, "I'll deal with those two young fellas first." And he came in, and he talked to us, and he opened the Bible, and he explained the way of salvation. And my cousin Billy, he knelt at one chair, I knelt at the other chair. Ian Paisley had his arm round Billy and his arm round me, and we prayed the sinner's prayer. We took the sinner's place, and we asked the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us in his precious blood, to come into our heart, to come into our life, and to change us and to make us a new creature in Christ. And that was 1965. And my, thank God, we're kept by the power of God through faith. You know, I really loved the way that Dr. Paisley preached God's word. And I wanted to go to hear more. And of course, I was just a young fellow. I was only 17 at the time. And my father, he says, well, you're still 17, you're at home, you're doing your Queen's badge, all the rest of it. You'll have to stay. But he says, I'll tell you what you can do. You can go over to the prayer meeting. And you can go over to the Sunday night meeting, but come to your own church on Sunday morning. So that's the way it went for a while. And I began to get involved in the children's work, playing the accordion, helping out. And then the young people's fellowship over at Ravenhill, and then their open air meetings. And that's the way it was. Then one day we're sitting at our dinner, one Sunday, we're sitting at our dinner. My father was ex-Navy, Royal Navy. And he says, Fred, you really like the Free Presbyterian Church, don't you? I said, I do. And he said, I fought in the last war for civil and religious liberty. I better have some in my own house. If you want to go with Paisley, he says, away you go. I'll not stand in your way. And I went on and joined in the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. It became my home church. But those verses from Genesis 6 and 3, that was the call of God to me for salvation. And thank God, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know, in those days there was a controversy going on in the 60s with the mainline churches and the ecumenical movement, and they're seeking to reverse the trend of the Reformation and all these things. And some verses that were preached upon many, many times over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Lord says in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Then verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And oftentimes, Dr. Paisley would preach about ecclesiastical separation from the World Council of Churches and all these things. But not only did he preach about ecclesiastical separation, thank God he preached about personal separation unto God. And oftentimes on a Sunday morning, after you've been in work all week and you've been trying your best, trying to live for God, you've been to the prayer meeting, you've been reading your Bible, you've been trying to witness to others, trying to take part in as many meetings as you could and do your little bit for the Lord. And maybe you felt miserable and downhearted, and you went into church and you heard the Word of God. Maybe he was preaching on something like Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some days I come out of those meetings, as we say, as high as a kite, thrilled at the Word of God, and more determined to live for Christ in the week that lay ahead. He called us, there's a call to salvation in the Scriptures. There's a call to separation for men and women to walk with God and to be drawn closer to Him day by day. And then, as I took part in different meetings, open-air meetings around the city of Belfast, and at one stage I went along with her brother, the Reverend Ronnie McCracken, the late Pastor Raymond McCone, and other brethren, and we had about five or six open-air meetings around the city of Belfast. I had many friends in the Free Church and the Youth Fellowship, and some of them were going away to Bible College. They were going to the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, WAC, to the WAC Missionary Training College in Glasgow. And I began to wonder, does the Lord want me to go to the mission field? Does the Lord want me to go with these brethren and sisters who were leaving the church and going over there for a couple of years in the WAC and then heading out to the mission field to take the glorious gospel of Christ? I always laugh to myself when I think about the WAC, because many a time in the prayer meeting when Dr. Paisley was praying for the boys and the young ladies who had gone to the WAC, he said, Lord, make these WACers wreckers. And may they wreck the kingdom of Satan. And may they deliver souls. And may they be great soul winners. I know there was great prayers and in those days, all nights of prayer and days of prayer and all those things. And I was wondering, did the Lord want me to go to the mission field? And I come to that point where I said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'm willing to go wherever you want. I remember going over to the WAC for a couple of months during the summertime to help out as a student over there, and heard some of the great missionaries who had been in the Congo in the uprising there. But our brother, the late Tom Lewis, and his wife Doreen, they were members of Dunmurry Free Presbyterian Church at the time, and they were going out to go to, I think they were to live in Vienna. They were going to take the Gospels into the countries, as we talked about, behind the Iron Curtain, to help the pastors, to preach the Word, to give out literature. And at their farewell service, Reverend William Beattie, the minister of Dunmurry, he was preaching on these verses from the prophecy of Ezekiel that we read together. In fact, there's some other verses just in the previous, or in the early part of the chapter. Verse 4, he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak the word, my word unto them. And here's the verse that spoke to me. Verse 5, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. I remember coming home from that meeting, reading again these verses at my own bedside, praying through them and asking God for his guidance in the days that lie ahead. And I really believe that God was calling me to the ministry. Now, as I say, I was saved when I was 17. And it wasn't very long saved when I felt that the Lord was calling me into the work. So one night I was speaking to Dr. Paisley after the service, and I told him about this desire that I had to go into the ministry of the Free. I told him about a call to service that was in my life, that God was calling me to serve him. And he says, Fred, son, you're too young. I've never been told that since. Too young for anything. Fred, son, you're too. He said, I've never had somebody your age in the theological hall. But he says, I'll tell you what, you continue to pray, continue to come to the work, help out, do all you can, and in a year's time, you come back and talk to me. Well, I went home, and my heart was in my boots. And I remember that night, just as before I went to bed, and I got my Bible out and began to read, and I was reading a wee verse on the Psalms. You know what I said? Wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And I said, that's the verse for me. I have to wait. I have to be patient. The Reverend John Wiley used to say, patience is a virtue. And he says, it's not natural. It's nearly supernatural. It's hard to be patient. But you know, before that year was up, I was helping out in another gospel mission. Dr. Paisley was the evangelist. And one night after the meeting, we were talking. He says, are you still in the same mind? I said, I am. Well, he says, you write a letter to the presbytery and apply for the ministry. So I wrote a letter to the presbytery. In those days, you had to go, you had an interview before all the ministers, all the elders of the presbytery. Then the next month, you had to go back again, and you had to preach a trial sermon to all the ministers and all the elders. And thank the Lord, I was accepted. And they took me in. And if the Lord spares us until the month of December this year, we will be 50 years ordained to the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. I was ordained on the 15th of December, 1971. I was a student minister in Portadown, and then after 3.5 years as a student, I was called to the church there. And 71 was a big year, because Jean and I were married in 1971, and in September we'll be 50 years married. Now, I know you're shocked at that, you can't believe that. You say, them young couple, oh dear, dear. Well, that's the way it is. And there was a call in my life to salvation. There's a call to separation, to be like Enoch, who was a man who walked with God, And he had this testimony that he pleased God. And there was a call to serve God. And God has been so good and so faithful to us as a family. Our children are saved. We're so thankful for that. Their spouses are saved. Most of our grandchildren are of the age of understanding are saved. And we could never praise God enough for his goodness. I've had the privilege of ministering here in Northern Ireland. We were over for a couple of years over in Canada, in Alberta, in Calgary. And God is so faithful. The old hymn says, God is so good. And my, he's good, as they say, he's good all the time. And all things, the scripture says, work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so as I finish tonight, can I go back, as it were, to that call to salvation in my life? What about you tonight, dear friend, either here in the church or in the hall or listening on social media? Do you know Christ as your own and personal Savior? The scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, a favorite verse of mine, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. We can say here tonight, there's a universal opportunity. Whosoever means me, it's better than my name. You know, John Bunyan, the great preacher, the Tinker of Bedford, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he said, I'm so glad that God didn't say, if John Bunyan shall call upon the name of the Lord, he would be saved. For he said, if that's what the Bible said, I would think to myself, am I the John Bunyan that God's speaking about? Are there many, many other John Bunyans who have lived before me or who will live after me? Therefore, he says, I am so glad that God says, whosoever. Doesn't matter where we live. Doesn't matter how well educated we are or if we're illiterate. Doesn't matter whether we're Protestant or Catholic or Loyalist or Republican or Jew or Gentile. As the Bible says, bond man or free man. The Bible says, whosoever. Universal opportunity. Just as it came to me on the 21st of February 1965, it comes to you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's a universal opportunity. Dear friend, there's an unmistakable simplicity. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The dying thief just called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He couldn't get down from the cross. He couldn't go and join a church. He couldn't go and be baptized. He couldn't go and do a good deed. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call. That's all it takes. When Peter walked on the water and he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord put out his hand and held him and saved him. And even a child can call. The old chorus says, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 can enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For if that child believeth on Christ the Son of God, that little child receiveth salvation through his blood. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, there's a unique personality. As I said, the church can't save. The preacher can't save. But the one who stepped out of eternity into time, the one who left the ivory palaces of glory and was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the one who lived a perfect, sinless, faultless, harmless, crimeless life, and the one who poured out his soul unto death on the old rugged cross of Calvary, and thank God, the one who was raised for our justification and who now has ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high. Thank God, we can say with the hymn writer, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is not in Buddha, not in Muhammad,
not in Krishna, not in a religious order or a religious denomination. But the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved than that name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's why the angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The call to salvation. Have you heard that call? Have you responded to that call? Have you received him? Because the Bible says, if you receive him, if you call upon him, you shall be saved. Not you might. There's a possibility. No, you call upon the name of the Lord. It says, thou shalt be saved. I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. If I can help you in any way when our service is over, come and speak to us. We'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. How you can know that you're saved. How you can have the assurance that your sins are forgiven and that it is well with your immortal soul. How that you can leave this church tonight rejoicing that your sins are all washed away. They're underneath the sea of, they're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore through the precious shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just have a wee word of prayer, and then our singers are going to come and bring us a final song, please. Let's just pray. And again, just as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm your servant for Jesus' sake. If I can help you, please don't go away. Don't go away without receiving the Savior. Jesus said, as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for the simple message of the gospel from thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for thy saving grace and thy keeping power. We thank thee, Lord, for so many tonight who could come and give a word of testimony as we have done and tell how the Lord reached down and saved them. Lord, we pray tonight for those who are still outside of Christ. O God, in wrath, remember mercy. Speak to them, Lord. Bring them savingly to the cross. And may they come tonight and put their faith and trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. For we ask all these things in his name and for his sake and glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fred, for coming and sharing your story. And it's so encouraging to hear about a life changed by God and devoted to serving God for so many years. So thank you so much. Our closing hymn is, "What Can Wash Away My Stain? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus."
What can wash away my stain? Oh, Jesus, oh, precious. He is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the hope that makes me white as snow. Oh, while the clouds I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by His I overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by His I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the hope that makes me white as snow.
Thank you so much for joining with us in our service. We trust you'll have a good week. God bless.